This is Day to Day. I'm Madeline Brand.
And I'm Noah Adams. In a few minutes, the story of the most popular rock band in Burma.
First, though, Mexico's presidential elections are less than 2 months away. Recently, the campaign has been marred by riots. The unrest coincides with the return of subcomandante Marcos to the political scene. You may remember Marcos led the 1994 Zapatista uprising. He's not on the ballot, but he is trying to drum up support for a leftist political platform. Michael O'Boyle has more from Mexico City.
Last week, hundreds of police faced off with a group of protesters on a highway in the rural outskirts of Mexico City. Television showed startling footage of protesters beating captured police unconscious. The conflict left at least one youth dead and dozens of police and protesters injured. The following day, 3,000 state and federal troops invaded San Salvador Atenco, where the protesters were based. Mexico was again shocked, this time by images of gangs of armored police savagely hitting unarmed men. A few days later, in Atenco, villagers gather before the town hall to read the list of names of those arrested by the police. 65-year-old Josefina Roldan says she is angry and doesn't know what will come next.
Why did they break into people's homes without cause and destroy things? This is not acceptable. The president, Mr. Fox, must stop it. It is too much. Enough. What's going on is this man wants a revolution, and now he's seeing one. We're very angry with the government.
With Mexico's election only a few months away, these clashes have become a political football. And stepping right into the fray is the rebel leader, Subcomandante Marcos. The day after the morning police raid on Atenco, Marcos showed up in the city's town square. He promised to remain in Mexico City in solidarity with the protesters until all the people arrested are freed. Here is the proof that police fired on the crowd, Marcos says as he holds up a bullet casing. Since January, Marcos has been touring Mexico, trying to energize groups from the radical left into a political movement against the nation's main parties. However, Marcos's tour has been largely ignored by the press. Only several thousand students showed up when Marcos spoke last week at the National University. But discontent over the government's crackdown in Atenco may provide Marcos with a new platform. On Tuesday, Marcos did his first TV interview in years, showing up at Televisa Studios for the morning news program. He said the only way to prevent further protests was for the government to drop charges against the arrested protesters.
The ball is up there, in the federal government and the political class. They have to decide if they will continue, along with the media, artificially fanning the issue of Atenco, or if they will deactivate it. And the way to deactivate it is freeing all of the prisoners. That's enough.
The government is holding more than 200 people on charges of organized crime and shows no indication of backing down. Radical leftist groups in Mexico City say they are organizing road blockades in the capital to protest the Atenco crackdown. Lorenzo Mayer is a historian at Mexico City's Colegio de México. He says the incident threatens to further polarize Mexico's tense political atmosphere.
There are a lot of young students in Mexico City that want to continue with the protest, and this reflects the social polarization in Mexico, where you have an extreme concentration of wealth and of poverty, and have many people, above all the young, frustrated from not having jobs, not having options. The Atenco conflict is opening a cause to fight for and take out their enormous frustration with Mexican society.
Mayer says continued protests in Mexico City may most hurt the popular leftist presidential candidate, Andrés Manuel López Obrador. Felipe Calderón from Fox's conservative National Action Party has recently overtaken López Obrador, the longtime frontrunner, in the polls. Key to Calderón's gains, analysts say, was a series of attack ads that compared López Obrador to Venezuela's leftist president, Hugo Chávez, and called him a danger to Mexico. Mayer says the images of violence associated with Atenco are allowing the conservative PAN to link the left with political instability.
The message the right has been using for weeks is that the left is dangerous, but they don't make a distinction. These are two very different lefts, completely different, but from the perspective of the PAN, they don't want to make the distinction. It behooves the PAN to unite them, López Obrador, those from Atenco, Marcos, all of them. Anything that has to do with the left, they put in one package labeled danger.
The equivocation of the extreme and moderate left is no accident. Rather, Mayer says, it's the right's key marketing strategy in a campaign that is becoming increasingly dominated by the politics of fear. For NPR News, I'm Michael O'Boyle.